hymn number 348.
Sunday night, got to eat lunch with Ron and his family today, enjoyed that, and Ron's a coffee connoisseur. How many people knew that Ron likes coffee? I enjoyed to get to know Ron and Sandy a little bit better, enjoyed that this afternoon. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Pray for Akam as he's going to be taking that test on Tuesday. So he had taken some medicine that they said would clear it up, but it was worth a shot because he doesn't have it, but because he had it not too long ago, it's still showing up positive. So there's a couple of mission conferences in April he needs to be at, so just pray that he can do that, and I know the Lord will take care of that. So and it's nice to see people coming back. If you notice somebody that's not back yet, that hasn't been here in a while, it'd be a good opportunity just to let them know you miss them, and maybe just that one little bit of contact will just help keep us up to date with everybody. It's easy during all this stuff. It's really even hard to believe that all that happened. I was thinking the other day, that was the craziest year, you know? And thank the Lord, you see just a little bit of normalcy coming back again. And I hope this side of heaven, we don't have to go through that again, right? But he's in charge, and it was for a reason, and we just gotta, you know, make sure we do something with it. You know, last year, you know, we didn't even have church on Easter, which was extremely strange. You know what, to think, if he lets us do that this year, man, I tell you what, it ought to be a special time for us, right? Amen. You know, and that's just right around the corner. So I'm asking you, would you pray for that service? That God would work in that service, and that, you know, that the whole idea of celebrating the resurrection is to be thankful. You know, something we haven't done in a while, and we need to do that. We haven't had the Lord's Supper, right? You know, because you're afraid of passing something around, you know. But, you know, I think for Easter, we're just going to do it. And I mean, of all the things that people would say I have done risky, taking the Lord's Supper, I think you should be able to trust him for that. Amen. You know, I mean, if you were ever going to throw caution to the wind, just say forget about COVID, I would say that would be one event you could do that on, because you're doing it for him, right? So that would be something, because what we don't want to do is let what happened become normal and erase things that we've done before simply because we had to go through that. So we just need to put that on the calendar and move forward with that. So that's all the announcements I have, Brother Ronnie.
All right, if everyone would please stand and turn your hymn book to 352, or Brother Deacon's come forth to receive the offering. Brother Arnold, would you ask blessing and offering, please? Amen. Thank you.
Sandy's up here giving me a hard time. Y'all pray for her.
That. Well, this evening we're going to continue on a little bit about where we were at this morning and kind of build on that. And Sunday night's a good time to do that because it's, I always think of it as Wednesday night we have Awana. And Heather, how many three young people got saved? And including workers over there Wednesday night, how many total? There were 80 people over there, including workers. That's just a blessing to be able to reach out like that and to be able to. So, you know, whereas Wednesday night we used to be together, but we've got Awanas. But so Sunday night's, you know, kind of been that where it's just, you know, a lot of times just family. And we can spend a little bit of time in the Word. Tonight I just want to build on what we went through a little bit this morning. You know, having, you know, been pastoring now or been in the ministry for 30 years and just being around people, right? I mean, that's a pastor's job is to be around, I mean, they're God's sheep. You're just supposed to, you know, love on him in his absence. And then you hear stories, right? I mean, everybody in this room, I could start with Alan, You know, when you look at a little baby has nothing in its memory, zero. I mean, there are some people that say, hey, I can remember when I was born, but I think that's a stretch, right? So basically, it's an empty slate. Who you are from that point has to do with what you're exposed to, who you're around, and the inputs around you. Like if Greg were to have a child, but I were to take that child as a baby and bring it into my home, I could turn it into a barn house, right? And Lord knows we don't need another one of those. But, you know, it would be really simple to do that. I mean, it's an odd thing. You've seen somebody adopt somebody from China. And when you see them, you expect them to maybe speak Chinese or have a Chinese accent or to know a little bit about Chinese culture. And when they talk to you, they're just as American as I am, right? Because they were brought over here as a little baby. And they were imprinted, you know, in this society. And you know, their outside may say they're one person, but who they are is totally different because of the things that impact them. And you think about what does that. What makes you who you are? How you feel, your insecurities, you know, all of those things that go into you have to do with the things that you've been exposed to. And a lot of times, we don't even realize how that stuff affects us, right? You know, and which then that becomes your story, and it turns into how you treat other people. It turns into how you view life. It turns out how you view other people. You know, all of those things have to do with how life impacts us. And then you pick up baggage along the way. Not everything we learn growing up is good. Not all the habits that we take on are good habits. Not all of the idiosyncrasies that make us human beings and give us our not all of those things are good. Some of those things that impact us, negatively affect us, and we just carry it through life. And then, you know, as you get old enough to start making mistakes, you don't get help with those mistakes. They then become part of your life, and then you drag them on. And then you go from one relationship to another relationship. You're in school, and then you go into college, if you go to college, and then you get married. And oftentimes what we do is we just transfer our problems from one step in our life to another step in our life to another step in our life. And we never really get relief from that. So, like, you know, I mentioned the other day, you know, if somebody says, okay, I don't like people, is it really because they don't like people, or is it because, you know, something, an event in their life has caused them to, you know, if you get done wrong enough, it would cause you to not like people, right? The cause and effect, because we let that affect us, okay? And we can go down the list on all of those kinds of things. Like, for instance, I'll just tell on myself. I have a tendency to be oversensitive, okay? You know, somebody can say something, and I'll take it in another way. Now, I can point that back to my childhood and some of the things that I went through that caused me to maybe be oversensitive, but that's not your fault, right? And I should not hold you accountable for something that I picked up along the way and make it your problem. I shouldn't react as though, you know, that somebody is trying to be mean or upset. It's just simply a byproduct of things that I was around and things that impacted me, you know, negatively, okay? But then I cannot, who wants to take that through your whole entire life, right? So what I want to do, and you're just going to have to bear with me because I know that some of this stuff may be a little bit sensitive. But here's the thing, guys, as Christians, that we have help, right? You know, I mean, these habits, these things that become part of who we are, we have to ask ourselves this question. Is that really the way God intended me to turn out, or some of these things that maybe I've let negatively affect me, and because I haven't got help in that area, or I haven't given it over to the Lord, that it's now really, I've made it a part of me, but it really isn't a part of me. It's not what God intended me or how he intended me to react, that maybe I need to maybe lay that down and then move past that and say, okay, that might be how it affected me, but I'm no longer going to let that control me. I'm going to break out past that, push myself beyond that,
and let God make me what he wants me to be, not make my circumstances determine who I am, right? Because, you know, we live in a sin-sick world, guys. I mean, there's no way we cannot be negatively affected by the world around us. It's impossible. All right, it is going to affect you. The things that you see, the things that you hear, the people that are around you, how you've been treated, the events in your life, of course they're going to have an impact on you. But they don't have to continue to have an impact, and they don't have to drag you down. You know, I was thinking about also there's things that you can't always control. You know, I went to a Christian school, fairly sheltered most of my life. I can remember I was 13 years old. And I can remember I was at football practice. I mean, at the school, you had a dress code. We had chapel every single day. If your hair touched your ears, you had to go to the principal's office, and they would paddle you if your hair touched your ears. I mean, I was in a pretty strict environment, right? I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My mom drove the bus route on Sunday. I mean, she really tried the best. We didn't have a TV in our house. Okay, I mean, I lived about as Amish as you can get without the horse, right? Okay, you know, now that was the intent. That was the intent and practice of saying, okay, the world out there is bad, and I want to protect you from it. So I was at football practice. We went up to 7-Eleven to get a drink. Cut through a field with a bunch of kids. And I might have even been as young as 12. And as we cut through the field, I noticed one of the group of guys ahead of me stopped and picked something up. Well, I had no idea what they picked up. Well, when I got there, I realized it was a magazine that they shouldn't have. Now, they were not looking for the magazine. It was just laying in the field. I was 12 or 13 years old. First time in my life, I didn't go looking for it. I didn't ask for it. You know, if you ask most young people, guys, that first event in their life isn't something, 95% of chance when you're that young, it happens accidentally. But do you know what, the environment that was raised, there's no way in the world you could ever sit down with somebody and say, hey, can you help me today? I saw something that I didn't understand. I didn't even know was out there. And it bothered me. But do you know at that age and at that time in our society, you couldn't talk to somebody about that. You know why? Because, well, in the honesty of my heart, I wasn't looking for anything bad. I was just going to go get a Coke. That's it. 100% was minding my own business. But we live in a sin-sick world. You know what would have been a real blessing is to be able to have an atmosphere where you can stop and go to a guy and say, hey, listen, can you help me? What do I do about this? What do I do about how this impacts? So that's just me being honest. We can all take events in our lives. We can all take things that happen and things that we just push on the inside, try to deal with them with ourselves. And then what happens over time, because you don't get the help that you need to get, you don't get the healing that you don't get to talk about it. Well, what happens is it just gets moved on down the line over and over and over again. It can be an insecurity that develops in school in another area. You know, you hear a lot today about things like bullying and things, you know, to where they've blown it out such a proportion. But there is some truth to how things impact us negatively. Now, with that said, let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And I pray that you would help us this evening, Lord, just to be, Lord, honest with our own selves and seek the help so that we can move past and go on with you. Lord, because you want to give us victory in our life, Lord, and more so that we can also then turn around and help other people. Father, I just thank you for loving us. I pray you be with your word tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you go to Psalms chapter 51 with me, Psalms chapter 51, and you know, this is David. You know, David had he really, really had a good testimony. And then we know that he got into a spot in his life. And you think about this, guys. What if David, when he committed adultery, what if David would have just simply dealt with that? What with the time that when he messed up, what if he would have just stopped, had a friend? Remember we talked about friends the other day? Had a friend he could have gone to and said, hey, Cole, I need to talk to you. I got to get this off my chest. You know, this happened, and I made a mess about it. and now she's pregnant. You know, had he have been able to do that, do you know what might have been able to stop from happening is what happened next. See, because he didn't get help for that particular problem, he then began to try to cover that up with something even bigger of a problem. I mean, the one you could fix, right? I mean, that happens all the time, and things can get put back together. That might have been salvaged. But when he took it to the next step, covered it up, and had her husband killed, you can't put Humpty back together after that. But what if at that moment, he had to be convicted about it. I mean, there's no way in the world that you could have been who he was. He had to know that was wrong. That's why he was trying to cover it up. But he couldn't get any help. He didn't talk to anybody about it. Instead, he brought that into the next day, into the next day, into the next day, instead of leaving it there and moving on with the Lord and just admitting, hey, I did wrong. I mean, God forgave him of the whole thing, so certainly he would have just forgiven him of that. He didn't need to compound it with another problem. That's because he took that problem into the next day instead of leaving it back here. But then when he got right with that, I want you to notice something that he said. He said in verse 51 of verse 1, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Look at the God that he's going to. He already knows. This is his writing. He's explaining to you what he thinks about God. He already knows God is tender in mercy and kind. That means he could have gone to him with the first problem, right? If he's coming to him with all of this stuff, now he's got a murder on top of an adulterous affair, you know, it didn't have to get that messy. It could have just been, hey, you know, God, can you forgive me for this? Because look at the God that he's going to. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy wrath. No, it doesn't say that. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He's saying, God, because you love me, I'm asking you to forgive me. Well, aren't you glad that God is that kind of a God? So with that kind of a God, why in the world would we then want to, when we know we can go to him and get that help? And then not only that, guys, we've got to be able to be there for each other. Because nobody walks alone down here. You know, if you don't have somebody, I mean, we need to be those kinds of Christian to be able to be that kind of friend to somebody else, that somebody could come and get some help, and you could pray with them, not judge them, not hold it over their head, so we don't keep pushing it down the road. But he didn't do that. But then here, when he finally did come clean, I just appreciate it how he just worded that, going to God. And then if you look here, it says down in verse 12, it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. What he was saying at that verse, as he's getting this off his chest in front of God, he's saying, God, I'm ready to go on. And you know, he did do that. You know, he still had to walk around in his kingdom. He was still king, by the way, through all of this stuff. He still had to function, go out in society with everybody knowing all of his past. You know, how was he able to do that? Because God helped him leave it in the past, and he was still able to move on. Now, look, people are going to be stupid, and people say mean things, but as for David, you know, he said, hey, restore my joy. You know what was killing him? And this is what happens. Now, it can be a sin, but it can also be, so don't just think of it as a sin. It can also be things that you can't control that impact you, that have caused you to feel a certain way. You know, I mean, you know, not everybody's marriage is Leave It to Beaver. Not everybody's childhood was you know, what was that show with the guy who was the police officer? Andy Griffith. Not everybody grew up like Andy Griffith, right? Okay, and not everybody had a Leave It to Beaver marriage, you know. And there is pain and suffering in life all around us. And you know, things happen to little kids, things happen to little boys, things happen to grown people. You know, there are events in our lives that we would just sooner forget, but we don't ever get help. We just think as long as we keep it hidden. But then they begin to manipulate our personality. They begin to manipulate how we treat other people. You know, that's how come some, I mean, Why is somebody angry? Do you think people are angry for no reason? Are you born angry DNA-wise? Chances are something happened. Chances are there is an effect in your life that was just never dealt with, and you just shoved it inside for so long that now it has to come out. It has no choice. But if you were to go back, you would probably begin to figure out, when did this begin to happen? And at that moment, you can say, okay, what I have is, this took place, and I drug it into the next day, and I didn't deal with it. I didn't get help. So then I drug it into the next day, and then I drug it into the next day, and then I drug it into the next day. You know, if somebody gets pushed around enough, guess what's going to happen? Pretty soon, they're going to push back. Right? If somebody gets mistreated long enough, guess what's going to happen? Well, one day they're going to have enough of that, and that's going to come out, right? But if you look back in it, you could trace it back to a point in your life and say, at that point, that's when this began. But because I didn't say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I need to get this off my chest. I don't want this to become who I am or how I deal with life every day. I don't want this to become a normal pattern in my life of how I think. I need to get some help so that it doesn't go on. Well, David did that, and he was able to move on. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. I think I did this right. If not, I'll just... Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. Okay, so you know the story about Hannah. Hannah was in an odd situation. She was married to a husband who had another wife. Now, in that situation, one wife, Peninnah, could have children. Hannah couldn't have children. Living every day with that other woman that was constantly in her face about it, it wore on her. Hannah was not probably the wife that she needed to be. And her husband said, don't you know that I love you more than the other one? Now think about how in the world you're supposed to get along in that environment, right? You know, so you know this was a toxic situation. It was affecting her greatly. Do you understand that these events can change your personality? They can change your attitude. They can change how you look at life. What do you think it would be like to be around Hannah in this current condition? She's beat up every day, right? She can't just ignore it. She goes home. Peninnah could have children, and she's rubbing it in her face and saying, you know, I can have kids and you can't have kids. She can't get away with it. She's married in that situation. And then I want you to look at verse 10. It says, and she was in bitterness of soul. You know, the problem is there's too many people walking around in bitterness of soul. I mean, this is deep inside of her. You can tell her, just get over it. But it is something that is hurting her every day. And she, I mean, and he told her, he said, don't you know that I love you? And she said, you don't understand what it's like to be ridiculed. Do you know what? You know what she called? Do you know what she called Peninnah? She said, my adversary, my enemy. You're in the house with an enemy, and she's got to live there every single day. Well, then that actually began to change. How do you think she was a happy person to be around? Do you think you'd go spend the afternoon with her? Did it just been, you know, woohoo, what a great day? Why? Because you've got somebody that's carrying that stuff. Of course it's going to come out of them, all right, because she's hurt. All right, but notice what she did. She went to the Lord, and you know what? She left it there. You know, now she could have. Now you say, well, what if God wouldn't have given her a child? Well, you know what? She did the right thing by going to him, but I'm glad that God cares about bitterness of soul, right? And remember, this wasn't something that she did. This is something somebody did to her. David owned that, but God still cared. This is something she's having to deal with. You know, I'll just tell on myself, right? Because it's not fair to ask you to do it. But growing up, I got picked on. I mean, my teeth aren't straight. I have freckles. You throw a ball, I catch it with my face. I run like I'm having a seizure, okay? I mean, that, look, Josetta's laughing at me. There goes all the pain all over again. I'm just kidding. You know, but you know what? In reality, that was people. Josetta cracks me up. It was, you know, growing up like that, it was difficult. Do you know that I really did not get along with people my age? I felt way more comfortable with older people. You know why? They just accepted me for who I am. Now, that was me being honest. I'm not going to ask you to tell you what you got picked on. That's me sharing my heart to you. But do you know that being told every day that you are not good enough, if you let it, will affect you. Right? I mean, you can be as tough mentally as you want, but nobody wants to be the bottom of the pillar all the time, right? So a lot of the problems that then spin out of that. So then guess what? I wanted to be popular. So when you dared me, Chris, I was going to do it. I don't care if I died doing it. I mean, I was known as that kind of a guy. It's like, hey, Dave will do it. So, I mean, I went to those events and I threw everything I could at that. Why? Because I wanted to try to undo what people thought about me, so it didn't matter, you know, how stupid or how illegal or something I shouldn't have ever even been involved in. I wouldn't back down and say no for nothing. Well, that really wasn't necessarily who I was. It was what I was letting them make me. You see? But then you see Peniah here, instead of just saying, hey, I'm just going to drag this on to eternity, she turned around and she said, so Hannah rose up after they had, and she went in bitterness and soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forgive thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You know, and God heard that, and God let her have a child, and the rest is history. And I tell you, what a beautiful story. But that's because on one day she said, I can no longer, I have got to get relief from this. I can't drag this on any further. Well, let me read you another one. From there, Genesis chapter 34. Genesis chapter 34. Now, I'm going to have to tell you this because we don't have time to read this whole entire chapter. Chapter 34, I'm going to read it at the beginning of it in verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Now, this is I can't read that whole chapter, take too long. But you know, Leah's daughter went out, and she went out to go hang around the other ladies in that area. And one of the young men saw her there and ended up having a relationship. Well, here's a million-dollar question. You know, some people say that she was taken advantage of. Other people say that, you know, she was out doing just as much wrong by being in the wrong place, that maybe it was consensual. Regardless, it caused massive problems. Because when her brothers found out that this happened, her brothers got really angry. Now remember what ends up happening, they end up getting very angry and upset, and they actually go and attack the men of Shechem. And if you read the story, they actually go to him and say, listen, if you want to marry our daughters, because the guy who did that wanted to marry her, and they said, if you want to marry our daughters, you're going to need to get circumcised. So they talked all the men into getting circumcised, and then while they were healing, they went in and they killed every one of them. Bad, bad story, right? Okay? And then look what happened afterwards. In chapter 35, verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all their strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So after all of this event, he went and told his sons. He said, yes, it was wrong what they did, but what you did was wrong. See what happens? They were responding to what happened to their daughter. So they went in and they killed every one of those, to their sister. They killed every one of those guys. But the other question is, there's another part of that story where she could have been a willing precipitant, or however you say that, be part of that. Either way, it was a disaster. Now, you don't think that affected those boys? You don't think some of them were mad at their dad, thinking the dad was a coward because they didn't want him to stand up? So do you think that those people went through that event and came out the other end the same as they went in? No way. Well, guess what? You can't do that either. You cannot go through life, be adversely affected, and expect it not to bother you. You can't be hurt and expect there not to be some sort of byproduct because of that. You can't sin and expect there not to be some sort of consequences involved in that. It's just part of that, right? But notice what they did afterwards. Instead of dragging that on, he got them all together and said, listen, we got to go to the house of the Lord. And there they took the strange gods, which no doubt infiltrated from that whole mess, and said, let's stick them aside, and they moved on, right? And now it was up to them whether or not they were going to allow that to pass on into their next relationships. I mean, it seems like all the boys were kind of upset at dad because dad got mad at him, and they're thinking, hey, listen, somebody needs to stand up for our daughter. And, you know, so you don't think later on there was some little bit of tension between them and dad that never got fixed? And you can go through the Bible and you can see real life situation over and over and over again. You know, Paul said this, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Okay? Well, let's see if I can find that. See if we got time. Let's just look at a couple of these. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll just go a little bit further. Romans chapter 12. We'll look at some of this in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You know, the Bible says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These things in our life that come into our life, you know, whether it's our fault or somebody else's fault, you can allow that to make it who you are. But look what the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. And he would say this, don't let your problems define you. Don't let your mistakes find you. Do you know there's a renewing process that God can do in your mind and in your heart? He can take any kind of hurt and he can heal it if you'll let him. He can take any kind of pain and help you put it aside if you let him. Or you can continue to do that. Even when it comes to sin, guys, you know, your brain has the ability to rewire itself. And just like other things in your body, your brain can do that its whole entire life. It can rebuild itself its whole life. It doesn't get old and can't do that. That means, you know, we can take a negative thought and we can put a positive thought there. We can take pain and we can replace it with joy and forgiveness. You know, I mean, if it's something that you just want to get out of your head, I mean, how many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you wish there's a memory or an event in your brain you could just remove? I mean, and you would give large sums of money just to do it. Get it out of there. I don't ever want to think about it. I don't ever want to see it again. I just want it to be gone. Do you know that God can help you bury that under his love and grace in your mind and suppress that with things that are good? Because what's that renewing of the mind mean? To renew, not to be conformed to this world, but to renew your mind. Well, if we think about who God is, if we stay in his word, you know, there's some spiritual disciplines that have to be practiced if you're going to be able to leave this stuff behind. Reading the Bible is not an option. It is a survival tool. The more that you put in there, the more good that you put in, the further you can bury the bad. The more good thoughts you put in, the further, do you know when your brain is active? Have you ever tried not to think about anything? It's impossible. Do you know that your brain, if you constantly relive something in your life over and over again, when you're inactive and doing nothing, do you know your mind automatically goes there? So if you worry, the second you have quiet time, guess what's going to pop up? Boop, worry. If you're anxious, the second you have quiet time, guess what's going to pop up? If that's what you do when you have downtime, your brain is going to go, okay, he's doing nothing. This is what he always does when he does nothing. Boom, here you go. But do you know you can reverse that process? Instead of thinking about something that's hurtful or something that's not right, something that does not be in your mind, do you know what you can do? You can, with some discipline, replace that thought with a good thought. So much so that your mind says, whenever you're idle, he always thinks about God. Is that a fairy tale? Or does he really mean that you can renew your mind? Well, what if we as Christians actually did that? What if we took that broken part of it and said, God, renew that? Get some spiritual discipline where you say, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this so that I can have this, so I can renew my mind. I'm going to stay in the Bible. You know, I mean, the Bible reading is good because it, but you know what? It's also a survival tool if you're trying to leave something behind. Right? Good godly music is the same thing. It's a survival tool. Being able to talk instead of having to bury your feelings is also a survival tool. Getting help and saying, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. I mean, why is it among Christians that's a hard thing to do? Why? Because nobody in the world wants to be vulnerable enough to get judged. So I'm going to go tell Chris, hey, I got a problem. What for? So he can judge me? Because that's what we're used to, right? But what if you literally could have an environment where you do love each other and say, listen, I'm one sinner to another sinner. How in the world can I judge you? Right? Because I'm not perfect. Okay? So, you know, but if we would spend some time on renewing our mind, let's look at another one, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. We'll just read a couple more here. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's go to verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. Now look at these words. Foolish, could have made better decisions. Disobedient, that's flat out rebellion. Deceived, okay. Well, that's something that, although it's wrong, but it's something that somebody else did to you because you were deceived. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our God and Savior toward man appeared. So in verse 3, look at this. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. What fixed it? Listen to this. The kindness and love of our God toward man appeared. Oh, isn't that comforting? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Wow, that means I can actually get past this stuff. Right? That means, and it doesn't matter how old it is. Are we really this way? Are there aspects of our life that have made us who we are or made us the kind of personality we have? Is it something that I let happen that really isn't me? The insecurities, the anger, the hurtfulness, all of those things. And then that becomes embedded. I mean, there's one person I was trying to help, and they were praying that God would just lead, that he wanted to get married. But the problem is, he didn't like people. He didn't like to be around people. You know? And so anytime I would say, well, hey, you know, I'll think, all right, if it's something you really want to do and you want to get married, okay, well, probably need to get out and meet other people, right? Probably not going to fall through the sky. So you encourage him and you say, well, hey, you want to do this, you want to do that? Well, I don't want to be around people. I don't really like people. Now, here's the question. What's behind that? That's the part he needs to let go. Right? Because God made us to be around people. Right? So instead of saying, well, okay, that's just the way I am, it's maybe going back, and we could take all of our, whatever it was. And I told him, I said, listen, you're going to have to be willing to come get outside of that box and be willing to meet somebody if that's what you want, right? Because what you don't want to do is then take that problem into the next relationship and have it start all over again. Because it won't last long, because not very many people want to be married by themselves, right? So I mean, in counseling, you don't know how many times I've sat down. I have to push this up on a higher shelf. But I have sat down and counseled young couples. And a person in that young couple had been taken advantage of when they were little. Never told anybody until they got married. But when they got married, it became an obvious problem. There were issues immediately. I'm talking about first month of marriage. It's bad. And they don't, because the other person was hurt so bad, things didn't operate properly, but they never told anybody. They just thought, well, maybe if I move on to the next thing, it'll be okay. Well, because they didn't get help, they just drug it into another relationship that you just can't undo, not if you want to please the Lord, right? So now there's all kinds of issues and things that they got to work. That's real life, guys, and that's as polite and kind as I can put it, okay? But those areas, we could go on and on and on and on and build on that, because we live in a sin-sick world. Of course, it's going to leave scars, and it's going to leave hurt. It's going to leave pain. But we don't have to live there, right? We can move past that. But it's the renewing of our mind in Christ. It's running to Him. Saturate yourself with things that are good. Force yourself to do the things that you wouldn't do if it pushes against something that's in your life that you don't want to be in your life. Push yourself out of that by running the opposite direction, right? Making yourself say, listen, I'm not going to let that define me anymore. Again, like we read this morning, is that true? Jesus Christ sets you free, you're free indeed. Then why do we have so many problems? Is that broken? Now, we're the ones that are broken because we won't move past it. And the more that our society unravels, the bigger these problems get. The more complicated the issues around you get, because they're creating complicated issues every day in this world that are affecting people all the time. I mean, I had kids in youth group who watched their mom and dad get murdered right in front of their face. Another couple I remember was working in teen with them as a teenager. They actually saw their dad shoot their mother. Now, how do you get over that, Greg? Right? I mean, how do you just say, okay, put that in your path, move on? Do you know that happens all the time? All kinds of nonsense out there. Well, what, are they just stuck? Something that they can't control? No, I'm telling you what, we got a God that knows that pain. We got a God that cares enough not to leave us like that. They can do a work on the inside of healing. I mean, he can regraft parts of our mind to where that it no longer haunts us, and you can move on. But you can't do it by yourself. You got to have Him, right? And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that when it said, but you can turn to God, and it's His loving kindness and it's His mercy. He understands the whole creation groans in pain. He knows that. Guys, just take it to Him. I mean, as best you can. As little kids, man, jump on His lap and say, Dad, I just need to talk. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be like this. To help me. So what do you think? He's just going to leave you there? Well, certainly not. Right? We got to make the first move. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the truth that's in it. And Lord, thank you that you gave us the Bible. and you gave us church, and you gave us hope. And Lord, that that through you, Lord, that we've seen people be able to put great things behind them. I mean, I look at the Apostle Paul and how effective he was to other people. People loved that man, but he had a past. He had a past that you had to help him with. Lord, he needed grace. He needed forgiveness. He needed long suffering. He needed you to help rewrite his memory and put those thoughts behind him. Because some of those things, Lord, he even mentions that he persecuted the church and he caused people to die. And Lord, yet you see he was effective and helpful. He was kind and generous, and he was loving, and he was a good friend because you helped him let that not, his past not define what his present was going to be. Lord, and I just want to thank you for that testimony in the Bible and that hope that, Lord, we can have that as well. And Lord, as we find the healing and we move past and we go on with God because he's going on, Lord, then we're able to then truly turn around and help somebody else. Father, help us to not just rest in the fact that you've helped us, but understand that there are hurting people everywhere that need help. And Lord, once we've tasted the freedom of forgiveness, the freedom of victory, we can in turn help somebody else. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen, and we'll see you on Wednesday.